Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Anima Holding 2020 full year results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Melzi d'Eril, CEO of Anima Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody for attending our 2020 conference call. I would start with our document as usual, from page four, and the 2020 highlights. This year, 2020, was a very volatile year. We all know that was a complex year, but we are proud as Anima to have registered a solid financial result, a strong resiliency in flows, and an excellent overperformance in the asset management business. We closed the year with 194 billion of assets, +5% over 2019. 700 million euros approximately of net new money, excluding Class I mandates. Almost 300 million euros of EBITDA and 155 million euro net income, +7% if compared to 2019. Page five, looking at the AUM evolution. Out of our almost 700 million euros of net inflows, we registered 2.9 billion euros on the institutional side, while we were negative on the retail for 2.2 billion of assets in terms of net inflows. The market effect was positive on the retail, while the Class I mandate, in terms of AUM change, was positive for almost 7 billion euros. Looking page six at our business by segment. 27% of AUM is made out of the retail assets, while 73% of AUM are on the institutional side. 88% of our retail assets are on our strategic partners. BAMI is the first with almost 53% of the asset, the retail asset, and BMPS, 28% of the retail assets. Page seven. In terms of performance, this was a very good year for Anima. Looking at our WAP, compared to the Italian industry, we were almost 1% over the Italian industry. In terms of funds breakdown by category, we show an asset breakdown more skewed towards balanced, flexible, and equity asset classes if compared to the Italian industry. Looking at the bond category, I remember in 2011, we were at 50% in terms of bond as a breakdown in terms of asset classes. Today, we are in the region of 35%. Our capabilities on the equity side and on the flexible fund is also demonstrated by some example that we reported here in our slides. For instance, Anima Selezione Europa, a fund with 33 years of track record, benchmark against the MSCI Europe, that this year registered a very important over-performance as compared to its benchmark. Anima Iniziative Europa, another important fund, small mid-cap, benchmark against Europe Small Cap. Again, outperformed benchmark by almost 3 points. Also page nine, our Anima US Equities is a fund managed by the same PM since 2012, that this year was able to outperform strongly its benchmark. Again, almost 3 points. All our high potential funds that can actively manage the equity exposure with the aim of a positive total return, of course. In particular, the INMI High Potential Europe this year that registered a plus 15% in terms of performance if compared to an MSCI Europe of minus 3% and the Liquid Alternative UCT Index minus 7%. So this is also to demonstrate the capability of our house that sometimes is perceived as a bond house, also to manage different strategies and important equity strategies for our clients. Some number in terms of economics, page 11. As usual, some highlight on our consolidated P&L. Plus 6% in terms of total revenues if compared to 2019. Largely because of a strong increase in performance fees that reached this year 78 million euros, over 78 million euros. Plus 8% in terms of EBITDA, almost 300 million euros of EBITDA that was made of the increase in terms of total revenues and total expenses substantially stable if compared to 2019. Net income and adjusted net income, plus 7 and plus 6%, net income reaching 155 million euros if compared to 145, almost 146 million euros of 2019. Looking at the profitability on the right side of the page, retail margins decrease, we already explained that during this year, were mainly attributable to lower than average placement fees that were below of approximately 2 million euros if compared to 2019. This was due to the zeroing of the activity, of the gross activity of banks for a certain period during this year. A negative market effect, in particular registered in Q1 of 2020 that impacted the full year 2020. Institutional margins were substantially flat, notwithstanding a strong increase in class one life insurance mandate in terms of asset and in terms of performance, meaning that the net inflows that we were able to have on this business were in terms of profitability higher than the average. Cost income expense ratio at our historical minimum, 4.4 basis point over average AUM. Cost income excluding performance fees, absolutely under control. Tax rate back on a normal, to a normal, just to remind you that in 2019 we had an extraordinary positive effect of 6 million euros related to tax relief on goodwill. Page 12, some element on performance fees. First of all, I would like to remind that Anima funds are 87% domiciled in Italy. I think this is important also in respect to the feature of our performance fees. Approximately 90% of 2020 performance fees were related to funds calculating performances with an high watermark methodology calculation methodology. And therefore already fully compliant with the new ESMA Bank of Italy regulatory expected changes. We have a portion, of course, of performance fees with calculated with a benchmark on benchmark funds and calculated as a comparison versus the benchmark 12 month observation period. We have to be positive. These performance fees accounting for approximately 10% of the performance fees registered this year will sooner or later be impacted by a change in order to reflect the ESMA guidelines that were published end of last year. A relevant amount, almost 32 million euros, were originated from target date funds. This is very important because such funds that are recurrently launched by our company on an ongoing basis, provide since couple of years a bulk of performance fees also in volatile environments. Page 14, net fees and personal cost. Net fees increased in Q3 and Q4, mainly due to the AUM rebound after the shortfall in the Q1. The commercial activity, as I was mentioning before, remained for the overall year below its run rate, also because of the zeroing of the bank's activity for a period of the year. As I mentioned before, minus 2 million euros approximately in terms of placement fees compared to 2019, that already was a quite weak year. In terms of personal expenses, still and continuously under control, even with the hirings of the new initiatives that we did during 2020, in particularly for internal research team and the new alternative company that we set February last year. Page 14, again, some focus on our cost efficiency. Last year, we have been able to demonstrate once again our capability to keep cost under control. We were also helped in this respect by the emergency situation, because if you can, as you can see, part of the large part of our savings were due to the let's say to the marketing activities that typically are on the field for us, and this time this year we had to do all our activities in remote. And so also saving a portion of this cost. This cost probably will resume. 2021 is still an year of remote working, at least for a portion. We don't know exactly when we'll be able to get back on the field. Let's see. The increase in info providers in the info providers item is mainly related to the unbundling of the research cost. As last year was the first full year for this item, and this impacted this item, increasing the cost. All other costs are basically strictly under control. Page 15, net financial position, end of period net financial position, negative for 151 million euros. Just to remind you that our strong cash generation also this year enabled the company to complete a buyback in the Q1 for approximately 30 million euros. 73 million euros of dividends paid in May last year, 16 million euros of bond buyback, and 35 million euros of bank loan reduction. Page 16, always in terms of capability of our Anima to generate cash, and the cash that we return since the listing to our shareholders. The adjusted net profit of Anima that typically we reported in our slides is a good proxy of the cash generation of the company. Since the listing, we have a compounded growth of the adjusted net profit of approximately 10%, demonstrating the consistency and the continuous growth of our company during this year. In 2020, as I was mentioning before, we have been able to return to our shareholders more than 100 million euros with 8% yield on our average market cap in the year. Looking at the chart on the right side of the page, we reported our cumulative dividends and buyback since the listing, almost 500 million euros of dividends paid in these years, plus 90 million euros of buyback in the last couple of years. So this will only demonstrate the consistency, the stability of this company, in generating cash and returning part of this cash to our shareholders, always keeping the strategic flexibility necessary to endorse further growth. Page 18, product innovation. Product innovation in 2021, for us, this thing is a key element of our strategy. Every year, we produce a massive amount of new funds, new mutual funds, and new solutions for our clients, both on the retail side and on the insurance side. We plan for 2021, 42 new mutual funds. Last year, we have been able to launch, only in terms of mutual funds, 20 new solutions, notwithstanding the difficult years and the particular situation we were facing. This is without considering the production on the insurance business, namely unit-linked. 2021, we expect to launch two new Esalogo funds. This is our new ESG system of fund. Last year, we raised almost 1 billion on these funds. I think that this will be an important element for our growth next year. A new ELTIF Italy is a peer compliance solution under the new regulation. It's something that we expect that may be interesting for our client base in the first part of the year, for sure. We are working a lot on our new company, AFM company. We talked about last year, we launched this company in February 2020. The first fund where the company was authorized by Bank of Italy in July. We did the first closing of the first fund of the company beginning of January this year. We expect to close fully this fund by April, and we are already working in launching new funds and strategies. We have new launches for Primo Passo. Primo Passo is a strategy that we set, page 19. We started in 2019 in order to attract liquidity from deposit, and we believe that this strategy may be absolutely appropriate in this period where it's difficult to convince clients to enter the asset management products, leaving the current accounts. These products are target-date funds at 3 years, accumulating risk in the portfolio automatically and smoothly in order to provide to the client less volatility on the portfolio and, at the same time, an interesting potential yield. The new launches are planned for the beginning of 2021, and we hope that this will be an interesting product suitable, as I mentioned before, for the situation that the clients are facing today. Page 20, some closing remarks. Just to repeat some of the elements that I outlined in this presentation. Once again, we provided and we registered 2020 with a strong cash generation, enabling important cash returns for our shareholders, but leaving the strategic flexibility for the company in order to grow also externally. We are facing a positive momentum on the institutional segment, offsetting the difficulties on the retail that we know are there, even though we are seeing some positive element beginning of this year, and we strongly believe that the incredible amount of cash that is accumulating on current accounts and deposits will be positive once the situation will stabilize, hopefully in the next few months. Good results for asset management products of the company. We have been able to outperform the average of the sector, of the industry, and we have several strategies well-performing, moreover, as equity asset classes and flexible. We are very happy because this is, of course, an engine for our company and for the potential growth going further. 2021, what we expect. We started a good year, as we said in our press release. We have been able, in the first couple of months of the year, to register and to cash in performance fees on high watermark funds, demonstrating also the capability of our managers, exceeding the amount of the entire H1 2020. The negative that we are seeing on the retail, mainly due to the uncertain macroeconomic scenario. On the other end, we are seeing again a strong pipeline on the institutional. And then there is an element that we all know, the fast-changing Italian banking segment. We believe that there are many opportunities for us to be catch once the situation will be more clear. We expect that something will happen, or at least the situation will be more foreseeable in the next few months. And we hope and we strongly believe that we'll have the opportunity to increase and stabilize our distribution networks. I concluded my presentation, so I'm fully available for your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Ciao, Alessandro. The first question is on performance fees. I think you just said that January and February are above what you did in the first half of 2020, so should be above 37 million. Should we interpret these as something like 40-ish million euros or even more than that? The second is on retail flows. I was wondering if you can provide us with more detail about, for example, in January, out of the 123 million total outflows, how much was the retail component? And I know it is very early stage to say, but can you share a guidance with us on what you expect for 2021 on both retail, institutional, and therefore overall flows for the year. Thank you.
Ciao Gianluca. Well, first of all, performance fees, we are above the H1, let's say a little bit. I wouldn't go farther in terms of, let's say, numbers. Mm-hmm. In terms of guidance for the year, to be honest, I don't want to provide a guidance yet because it's too early. We are still working in an environment, in an uncertain environment. There are many, let's say, element that could change the outcome in terms of flows, moreover on the retail. So and these elements could be macroeconomic elements or the emergency that we are facing, how long it will take to get out of this situation, etc. And also external elements such as the banking consolidation. What we are seeing on the retail since the beginning of the year, we are seeing that we have some elements of positive, in the sense we have partners and one partner in particular that is strongly increasing the production and turning positive. That is what our, let's say, stronger partner. And we are happy for that. We are seeing that there is a strong increase in terms of PAC accumulation plan. There is one of the strategies that we are pushing more because we believe that these products are absolutely the best solution for our clients in this period. still in January, let's say we were negative approximately €200 million. So out of the.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations for the results. Ciao Alessandro, ciao Fabrizio. A couple of questions from my side too. One is going a little bit more granular on future inflows. I was wondering if you expect alternative funds to represent a catalyst for inflows in 2021 after the launch of the first fund and PIR as well, given the changes in regulations and some more, let's say, positive sentiment towards investing on the Italian economy, Italian mid-small caps, if you think these elements could kind of help from the product side to stimulate some inflows this year. The second question is on Monte dei Paschi. During their let's say in their presentation for business plan, they mentioned about monetizing some distribution agreement. I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit on what could be the outcome for you as their partner in mutual funds. Thank you.
Ciao Alberto. Starting from PIR. PIR could be an element for 2021? Absolutely yes, in my opinion, because just to remind the history of this product, we started with a strong success for a couple of years, then we had a sudden change in the regulatory framework that basically destroyed the product for a while. Last year, we were able to restart with the commercialization of the product in February 2020. So let's say this was probably, I mean, not very well perceived by the clients because in March we had a strong volatility. The Italian market went down dramatically. So it was the timing wasn't, let's say, really suitable for PIR. Today we are facing different probably perspectives. The new government provide some strong element of increasing trust from the market. So PIR could be a product for next year, absolutely. And moreover, alternative PIR after the new fiscal packages that let's say that will support this product could be also a very interesting solutions for our client base. So we are working there. As I put in our presentation, we will be launching an ELTIF PIR compliant very soon, and we will push commercially the product we already have in our system of funds as a traditional PIR. Alternative, we strongly believe in this project. It's a long-term project. So we started with the first fund, as I was mentioning, and we did the first closing in January. We will close this fund hopefully by April with a target between €150 million and €200 million. And we are working on other funds to be launched. I'm not sure if the new asset will impact strongly 2021 or 2022, because it will depend very much on the timing of the structuring of these new products. But we are working a lot in building a sizable line of business. Last, the MPS. You mentioned that, I mean, Monte Paschi in their industrial plan says monetization of the Anima agreement. Our strategy is clear. We typically try to strengthen and make longer our agreement every time that we can with our main partners. I mean, this is a part of our business. Monte Paschi is a very important partner for us, and we are with them since 11 years. The relationship with the top management is very good, and we hope that we'll be able to continue to serve the bank and to be very close to the bank as much as possible also going on and going further. This is what I can say.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I have two questions. The first one is on your ESG offer. If you can update us about the level of net inflows in 2020 and the level of assets that you had at the end of last year. The second question is on your costs. If you can elaborate a bit on your guidance and tell us which could be potential elements for cost growth or cost control as an alternative. Thank you very much.
Hi, Elena. Ciao, Elena. ESG system of funds, we raised almost 1 billion on these funds. The assets are today almost 1 billion, approximately. The funds are performing well. The net inflows are interesting. The commercial proposition is very much appreciated by our partners, so we are very happy given that we started a few months ago. We will continue to push in this respect. In terms of cost, as I explained before, let's say this year we were helped in keeping cost very much in line with 2019, also from the situation, because we weren't able to spend what we typically do in terms of marketing activities. Therefore, we had some extraordinary saving, if we want. I suspect that 2021 will be different probably from 2020, but not much, because we don't know when exactly we'll be able to revamp our commercial activities as before. Therefore, we expect the cost base to increase, but probably low single digit if compared to last year. What can change, where we could have some, let's say, extraordinary investment is on the alternative side, where, of course, setting up new funds, new strategies means also hiring new teams. We don't expect on 2021 something really significant, but it's something where we want to invest. Of course, as you know, I mean, typically when we invest, we also look for returns in terms of revenues.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. The first question is on the management fees margin. What are your expectations for 2021? If you can individually for retail and institutional. The second question on the alternative business, do you think that you could also make an acquisition to speed up growth in the alternative space? Thank you.
Hi, Luigi. Well, management fees margins. Retail, let's look at retail, excluding for a while placement fees. So recurring re-management fees, we expect probably a little bit also of recovery, stability to recovery, because the level of assets, if the markets will stay there, has increased end of last year. So we may have, in terms of average, a positive effect. On the placement fees, we are working, depends very much on the gross activity, of the networks. We are working today. We have to see how, you know, the stop and go in terms of opening of the activities in Italy will go on during the year. On the institutional side, we expect stability. Depends very much also there from the asset performance on the post-large mandate, because of course, as you know, we manage 75 billion of assets approximately at a little bit more than 2 basis points. Therefore, a strong market effect on these assets may affect the average profitability. But if you look at 2020, where the market performance of this mandate was very positive, in any case, we have been able to keep the profitability stable because of more juicy mandates won during the year. So we overall, I would say that I would expect the profitability on the institutional flattish. Alternative. On the alternative, let's say, as of today, we are not looking for acquisitions on the alternative business. If something may arise interesting in order to speed up the growth, we will evaluate it. Something probably small, because we are not looking for large acquisition there. I mean, we are not looking for acquisition there in general, but moreover for large acquisitions. If something small that at the end of the game is like acquiring a management team will appear, we will evaluate it.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions also from my side. First of all, I mean, your cash situation is improving, of course, quarter by quarter. You're accumulating cash. I mean, 2021 it might be potentially the year of consolidation of the banks, so let's see what happens. But how should we think about the usage of this liquidity going forward? Shall we consider more buyback, dividends, or there is any contractual terms, you know, that probably allows you to reduce even more the bank loan going forward? Second, about the retail flows, I mean, the fourth quarter was quite heavy in terms of outflows, and my understanding is also January is not improving. What are the commercial initiatives that you are setting up, apart from Primo Passo, on which it would be nice, you know, to get some expectation in terms of numbers from your side? What are the commercial initiatives that you are setting up with the banks in order to redirect this huge pile of cash that is sitting on deposits at the moment? I mean, I guess there is a huge incentive from the banks as well to reduce the drag on the NII, given most of this liquidity is given back to the ECB, and probably is even less convenient now to distribute structured products, given the level of rates where they are. So I just wonder when you expect, if the situation, you know, comes back to normality, when you expect this inflection point in terms of flows. And then if you can give us the detail about the placement fees in the quarter. Thank you.
Domenico. Hi, Alessandro. Sorry. In terms of uses of cash, 2020. Well, as you were rightly mentioning, we are accumulating cash because the company generates a massive amount of cash, and as we said in the past, we look at the use of cash in a rational way. Therefore, we always kept our guidance in terms of dividend, 50% of reported consolidated net income. And as we said and we did last year, we could top up this dividend through buyback. And looking at the potential cancellation of shares every year in order to increase the yield for shareholders, if we don't see M&A coming on. We did it last year. We canceled 3% of the share capital. Today we are on a hold-on position because we expect the M&A, the banking M&A scenario, to accelerate in the next few months. And given that, as we said also in the past, we have. Is something that is affecting also our strategies in terms of external growth in a positive way, we need to keep the strategic flexibility to potentially face an M&A scenario. I don't know if I answered to your question.
Is there any contact, in absence of that, is there any contractual terms at the moment that basically allows you to reduce even more, and whether you might consider also to reduce the bank's loan in a way?
Yeah, bank, we can reimburse the bank loan whenever we want, basically. Is oh, yeah. On a voluntary basis. So the bank loan is a bullet loan 2024 with a cash sweep every year of 50% of the exceeding cash after buyback also. And dividend. So this is the contractual term. In terms of commercial initiatives, we are doing well. First of all, we saw that 2020 for all the banks was a tough year in terms of asset management. The banks reporting, according to Bank of Italy, were negative in this respect overall, and the accumulation of liquidity was massive. And it's still massive. So we are working in the same scenario where all the other are. What we are doing, we are pushing. Primo Passo is a key initiative we are working on that will start end of March in order to try to catch this liquidity and to move part of this liquidity. We are discussing, we will start with one partner and we are discussing with others in order to open this product also to other networks. Other initiatives where we are working on, again, ESG, that we performed very well last year in terms of gross flows and net flows also, and we will continue to push these products. PIR is something that may be interesting for our Italian client base in terms of returns and therefore also in terms of profitability for us. As you were mentioning, structured products with this level of interest rates are more difficult to be structured, even though as we showed in our slide for Primo Passo, we are moving to structured products with more risk inside. Let's try to compensate this more risk and volatility through the accumulation, for instance, of the risk in the portfolio during the time of the product. So this is where we are working on. It's difficult to provide targets because we are, for instance, we saw during the first two months of the year that we strongly increased the number of pack of accumulation plan opened by clients. This is very important for us in terms of signal of the approach of the client base, but it's something that will provide assets during time, because the accumulation plan, every month these clients put money on the product. So, but this is also a sign that the clients want to invest. It will very much depends on how and how the general situation will change in the next couple of months, probably 2 or 3 months. We need visibility. Everybody needs visibility. In terms of placement fees, we reported year to date 1.7 million euros. Last year we closed with 8.8. And 2019 was 10.6, just to give you some element.
Thank you. Thanks.
The next question is from Fabrizio Bernardi with Bestinver. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Just a question on the payout policy. You have a clear strategy about payout. You mentioned before to our previous questions. Was wondering, given that you have a P&L structure that is changing with more performance fee, lower in terms of at least margin management fee, but in any case, the cash is king and is going up. So liquidity is good in Anima. I was wondering whether you may change your payout strategy, improving it to make it more shareholder friendly, especially considering that Anima, relative to its peers, is not a bank, can pay, I don't want to say any dividend, but roughly any dividend, looking at the P&L, the bottom line, while some of the banks that are your competitors, they are trapped in a sort of a limbo in which they cannot pay anything, like Fineco, Mediolanum, and Banca Generali, that are in any case trading at a much higher valuation multiple. So you could basically show or highlight how cheap is Anima relative to the peers, simply showing that you can pay a much better dividend. And second question, I mean, I don't know if you can make the name, but is the new Fineco platform about liquidity one possible distributor of your liquidity products in general?
Hi, Fabrizio. Well, in terms of dividend, my idea and the company idea is that we have to find the, as always in the past, the right equilibrium between return to shareholders and growth. We demonstrated during this year that this company grows both through organic growth and external growth, because is a key element of our equity story, and I believe is very important for us also to be able to catch the opportunities that may appear on the market. Therefore, as I was mentioning before, we decided to provide, let's say, a baseline yield for our shareholders with the dividend, increasing the yield potentially through buybacks. These buybacks may be activated and will be activated and were activated when we weren't seeing anything on the market potentially interesting in terms of M&A. Today, we are seeing a strong movement in Italy. Therefore, we prefer to provide an interesting dividend for our shareholders, but keeping the flexibility for the company to catch opportunities that hopefully will provide more interesting returns in the medium term. In terms of the platform of Fineco, to be honest, I don't know it. I don't have the answer, so probably we are not distributing for them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Grazie.
There you go.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much to everybody for attending.